getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester, and our subject in celebration of International Women's Day on March 8th is female health, and specifically perimenopause.
Yep, you got it.
So what exactly is perimenopause?
Yes, so this is the time in a woman's life before she stops menstruating that is leading up to the big M, or menopause. So perimenopause could start in the mid-40s in some people. What it means to be menopausal is that you've had no periods for 1 year. So the changes that happen physiologically leading up to that is perimenopause. And the average age that someone would stop menstruating is 51. So it can go on for as long as 5 years in some people longer, but average is about 5 years. So sort of that timeline, 45 to 50-ish.
And how does naturopathic medicine understand ways to support people in this period?
Yes, and we've got a lot of different options for that. So, you know, there is an organic change that's happening in the body where the ovaries are producing less reproductive hormones, so estrogen and progesterone. And so we can actually go in and support those hormones through herbs, through the right food suggestions, and also even bioidentical hormones applied either topically or taken orally, depending on the person. And we always consider the adrenal glands, which are our stress gland. We've talked about them a lot together on our podcast. But what happens is the ovaries stop producing these hormones is the adrenal glands actually take on the job of producing these reproductive hormones. And so it's really important to consider that we need to be supporting the health of those other glands as well. And actually, if we're being completely, you know, holistic about this, the thyroid is involved in well as well. And you'll actually hear from us next podcast about the thyroid and how it interplays with these two glands.
So it's not just getting hormonal levels right in terms of supplementing, possibly through diet or through supplements or through bioidentical hormones, but also other organs and glands that are involved.
Yes, and that's a great example of how the body is very holistic. Like, we're not just looking at one system. One of our, you know, tenets of naturopathic medicine is that we look at the whole body. So what I see very commonly in women as they're going through menopause or in that perimenopause phase is that any kind of stress will make their symptoms worse. And that's because the adrenal glands, again, are picking up the slack that the ovaries are you know, passing along. And unfortunately, as we get stressed, the body will preferentially choose to produce our stress hormone cortisol, which means it ignores producing those reproductive hormones. So we see sort of a greater deficiency in times of stress when a woman's going through perimenopause.
Well, that's a really interesting thing to know in terms of managing stress as a big part of the solution.
Yeah, 100%.
But first, let's talk, what are some of the symptoms that a person might experience if they're going through perimenopause?
Yeah, and there's a whole list, and it's gonna look different for everyone. But really commonly, hot flashes. So this is when all of a sudden you're just, you know, it feels like you're 2 or 3 degrees hotter. Some people actually will get a red face. They might start sweating. And this can happen at night too. And so typically in the day, they're called hot flashes or hot flushes. And then typically at night, they're called night sweats. Another thing is sleep disturbance. And this certainly could be because of, you know, being interrupted by the heat. but it could also be related to the changes in the hormones. So as we start to lose more progesterone, that's a very sleep-inducing hormone. Another symptom might be headaches, moodiness, irritability, memory seems to change. And what's really interesting to me, in our North American culture, we will see these symptoms, but when you start learning about cultures that are living in a fairly, you know, on the land, indigenous kind of way, they don't have these same experiences in terms of symptoms. One of my mentors suggested that it's because we, unfortunately, in our culture, view things as becoming less valuable as they age, humans included. And in the cultures where women, as they age, are revered as wise women, important members of, you know, the society or the tribe, that they don't have those same opinions, that they don't have the same symptoms. I just find that very interesting.
So there's a whole cultural bias that doesn't support women's health as they go through this period of life.
Unfortunately, I would say that's true. Yeah.
So I'd like to come back to that, but one thing you mentioned that I'd like to just tease out a little more is you mentioned the impact on memory. So hormones have an impact on the brain.
Yeah, we don't have these hormones, estrogen and progesterone, as just to make babies. They have hundreds of different functions in the body. And so the brain tissues are sensitive to these hormones, our fat tissues are sensitive to these hormones, our glandular systems are sensitive to these hormones, our muscles, you know, we can feel more tightness, more stress in the muscles, we can see tissues and skin change. So collagen is related to a lowering of these hormones, where we might lose collagen and start to see wrinkles. And, you know, the vaginal tissues might start to feel dry and the muscles there might actually start to atrophy or get smaller. So, you know, these are widespread body effects. And again, just coming back to looking at the body as a whole, you know, the ovaries don't produce hormones just to have periods and to make babies. Like, that is a small, small, small part of what they do for us.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the adrenal glands take more of the role of producing reproductive hormones. What things are helpful for the adrenal glands to function well?
Well, ideally, no stress, but come on, I mean, it's impossible. So then we have to talk about managing stress. And you know, we talked about this on our last podcast, or maybe two episodes ago now, where exercise and breathing, so movement and stillness, being very, very supportive and restorative to the adrenal glands. Regular, anything routine and regular, the adrenal glands love. Waking up at the same time, eating at the same time, going to bed at the same time, exercising at the same time. The adrenal glands love that kind of predictability, because then it's like they don't have to think. They know what's coming. There's nothing that they need to mount a response to. And then the other main thing with the adrenal health in terms of just lifestyle is eating a diet that includes a lot of protein, ample healthy fats, and fiber. So balancing blood sugar with those three macronutrients is a way of stabilizing the adrenal glands. Anytime we change our blood sugar, the adrenal glands are involved in how our body responds to that.
Mm-hmm. How important is workload and work-life balance to adrenals?
Everything. It's huge, right? We overwork, we're overtired, we're underslept, and we spend a lot of time sitting, and that's all going to have an impact on these glands. Yeah, 100%.
So adrenal glands are important. You also mentioned thyroid function. I know we're going to do a specific podcast on that, but can you say a few things about optimal thyroid functioning?
Yeah, so the thyroid, we can think of it as our thermostat in the body. It's what turns on our cells to metabolize and create energy for us. So if the thyroid isn't functioning well, we don't have the right, it's called ADP, or it's the energy currency in the body. So if we don't have ample thyroid function, we don't have ample energy production, which we need for everything else, like hormone production and just feeling good and healing and digesting our food properly.
So when you said we don't have enough energy, so one symptom might be fatigue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And let's go back a little bit to this whole culture around aging. We can't change the culture, but what are the things that women can do to support each other in creating a different kind of culture?
Yeah, I think that's a really good big question. And it can be something as simple as, you know, not judging people who have gray hair, or, you know, not comparing yourself as a 50-year-old to a 20-year-old in a magazine. Like, you're in a different life phase, and that's okay and perfectly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a deep mindset and self-acceptance that I think needs to be at play. That's not something that's going to change overnight by any means.
Mm-hmm. So just changing our own attitudes around aging and how we see people who are older, and changing our own mindset and behaviors towards them, is part of creating a different culture.
Part of that healing, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
In Chinese medicine, I find this really beautiful. They call menopause the second spring. It's like a woman's second chance at life. And it's a phase where women start to, expend less energy to taking care of their family, which they've done up to that point, and start taking care of themselves more. So I've seen a lot of patients who sort of come into perimenopause and they go through some major life changes because they're realizing what was working before is no longer working for them. And there's this sort of deep self-care that starts to emerge as women start to become really honest with themselves about what changes they need to make.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting that it's a physical and biochemical transition, but also can initiate other kinds of life transitions.
Yes. Also, again, looking at the body holistically, that emotional, mental component of that is part of it.
Mm-hmm. So what things can people who are listening and are starting to learn more about their own internal anatomy and their own bodies, what are the things that we can easily start to do to ensure that we're healthy as we approach that phase in our life?
Yeah, and I would say there's, you know, seven things that we can do as foundations of self-care. And so we need to drink right. We need to drink the right amount of water. Estrogen is a lubricating hormone. So as tissues start to dry out, that's actually a deficiency in estrogen. So water can kind of replenish that, you know, liquid piece that we're losing. So drinking right, and the formula here is half of your weight in pounds. So say you weigh 150 pounds, half of that in is your water intake. So that's would be 75 ounces. So that's the formula. So we need to drink right. We need to think right. We've kind of talked a little bit about that, changing your beliefs about yourself and how you love yourself. So drink right. We need to think right. We need to eat right, and we've talked about that sort of balanced low blood sugar escalating plan of lots of protein, healthy fats, and fiber. So we need to eat right, drink right, think right. We need to eliminate right. So if you're not having normal, well-formed, easy to pass bowel movements at least once a day, I would talk to your local naturopathic doctor about getting your digestive health back on track. This is how we eliminate wastes. We need to sleep right. So, you know, 7 to 9 hours, ideally before midnight, falling asleep in a dark room. That's going to support the melatonin and help that progesterone that is in the body convert into melatonin. So eat right, think right. We need to breathe right. So slowing down again and taking some nice deep breaths into the belly, that's very supportive of a healthy adrenal function. I think I'm up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And move right would be the last one. Mm-hmm. So finding exercise that works for your body that you can be consistent with and also, of course, enjoy.
This seems to be, when you say this, it seems to be basic human hygiene to eat well, move well, breathe well, sleep well, poo well,
yes.
You know, think well. What is it that we've gone so far away from very natural habit, you'd think should be very natural habits?
Yeah, and I think that's another great big question. You know, society demands that we achieve and that we succeed in a very structured and specific way that may not be the right way for everyone. I think there is an imbalance in the masculinity in the world with that sort of drive and putting some of those external values first, when if we really look inside, we can find all the answers and develop strength and courage from what we have as and sort of our own internal accolades, as opposed to, you know, whatever gold star you get given from whoever outside.
Mm-hmm.
Big questions today, Farah.
So, absolutely. Well, there's always big questions to explore, really deep, deep questions. It's been such a pleasure. Let's go through that list again.
Okay. So you need to drink well, again, water, half of your body weight in pounds, in ounces. You need to think right. So this might, and you might need help for this. Like, you might need to see a counselor or maybe someone who does energy work. You know, I work with people doing body talk to help change their belief systems. And we talked last time about changing our thoughts, right? So just coming to a place of self-love, care, and acceptance, thinking right, eating right, again, a balanced protein, healthy fat, fiber-rich diet, eliminating right. So maybe that means for you, you need to step up and drink some more water, coming back to that, or maybe lemon water would help those bowels move. I've got lots of other suggestions if that's a stuck place for you. Wah, wah. We need to sleep well, so getting to bed before ideally 10 p.m., sleeping in a dark room, getting 7 to 9 hours uninterrupted ideally. We need to stop and we need to breathe. We need to, I suggest taking 100 deep belly breaths per day. And we need to move right. We need to expend our energy, that instead of just sitting and taking stress like we do in our offices and cubicles, we need to move our bodies, get outside, be in nature, sweat. We need to sweat.
Well, it's been such a pleasure and so much to learn about perimenopause, the ovaries, adrenals, the thyroid, the impact of stress, the different hormonal levels. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Hope it was helpful.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.